The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 13, Episode 16, titled Grand Finale. My name's Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one exhausted co-host from the podcast.
I'm saying.
From the podcast, Pod is my co-pilot. Please say,
I'm Italian, and I like ass play.
To Taylor, the latte boy. Taylor, how could you say something so dirty on the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap?
Well, this, I've just decided to let my hair down and just truly be me.
Yeah.
Truly be the me that I've been hiding for the last 15 episodes.
Exactly. Well, that's what I would expect, nothing less. By the way, ooh, you know, Taylor, people don't know this. This is true. This is not a plug. I have, to some degree, adult ADHD. So often when I'm on the show, that's what you just heard. I have this thinking putty that I stretch between my hands and play with as I'm talking and listening, and it helps me concentrate. Believe it or not.
Really?
Uh huh. And I play with it. People probably think I'm playing with a pen, but like, cause it's not on camera. But I'm playing with it, and it helps me listen and whatnot. And
well, I'm glad that that's what you've been playing with for the last 16 episodes, because I've been worried and thought we were going to have an intervention.
Well, yeah. I'm also doing that too, Taylor. What I'm thinking about your sexy voice.
Actually, that putty is in fact your foreskin.
Yeah, it really is.
Which I'm impressed how big you stretched it up to where I could see it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's purple ink glittery.
Once again, my second time referencing Mandy Patinkin and Yentl. You know, everyone. Hi, everyone.
I did a Joe Batanz with a coworker where I told one of those like whoa jokes, and I said, you all can see me at the ha ha hut on St. Pete Beach this weekend from 2-8 to, you know, so, yeah. Which made everybody laugh. So yeah. I need to give you credit on the show. I didn't at work because I need all the help I can get.
Well, also they don't know who I am. They're like, who's Joe Batanz?
Oh, everybody knows who Joe Batanz is.
Oh, really?
The maven of Afterthought Media, of course.
You know, it's funny that you say that. A friend of mine, I didn't even know she had a podcast. She wrote to me on Facebook.
Now, Lori's very proud of the Bloody Network.
Yeah, I know. I had a very good point. No, it's a friend of mine. She has a podcast, and I didn't know. But she wrote to me on Facebook, and she said on her podcast, she went on an epic rant about Elijah Schlesinger, the comedian.
Oh.
And that somebody wrote to her and said, oh, one of my favorite podcasters hates her too. His name's Joe Batanz. And she goes, I know him. And she goes, what a small world. And yeah. I go, I'm a famous podcaster. I don't know who you are. So, but Eliza Schlesinger, for the record, I'm not going to go into a rant here. He's a horrible human being. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she and I did agree on that. So
you and Eliza agreed that Eliza's a horrible person?
If only. She's a horrible, what a wretched human being this Elijah Schlesinger is. Wretched.
Who is worse? Eliza Schlesinger? Sure. It doesn't matter.
I love that you're doing that, actually, because one of the worst interactions I ever had with her was the first interaction I ever had with her. I didn't say her name right. Maybe I said like you, and she had a fucking conniption fit. Well, change your fucking name to Anne Murray or something like that. Sorry, right. Go ahead.
Anne Murray.
Yeah.
Okay, so who is worse?
Mm-hmm.
Eliza?
Sure.
Or Todrick?
It's still Todrick because as far as I know, Eliza hasn't like allegedly ripped people off or, you know, not paid people and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's still Todrick. But she is still a horrible human being.
So how about Eliza or Dustin Lance Black, who's a worse person? Oh, man, he's really thinking about this one.
Yeah. They're very similar. Except I've never had a bad run-in with Dustin, so I'm going to say Liza's worse.
Okay, Eliza or Soju?
Well, no, it's going to be Eliza's worse, because the only thing with Soju was she had a fucking pissy-ass face on her. Everyone should know, I was at this drag con. This is when she was doing this shot with Soju. We were all the press was in this big, giant room, right? I hope people are using Nami's bingo card today. Yeah. And in this big giant room, and everybody was actually rather friendly with each other. Oh, hi, how are you? This Soju, she sat in the corner of the room with the biggest sour, like so unapproachable, sour
alone in the
face,
VIP.
Alone, literally alone in the VIP. Like, she wasn't even, her show was kind of popular, but there were people who were like on network television there and stuff like that. She was acting like, oh my God. And then you would think, oh, maybe that's just, I don't know. What a horrible human being, just nightmare and stuff like that. Anyway, the point is, Taylor, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. It's the last one.
I know. Are you? Last... I know what you're going to say right now, but are you in any way sad?
There's part of me that very much enjoys this. There is part of me that I am glad to get my weekends back. Mm-hmm. This and particularly for a season that we've talked about that hasn't been, it's, you know, it'd be one thing if this was 16 weeks of like season six, no problem. But this has been one that's kind of been, season six, it was sort of telegraphed ahead of time who was going to win, but there wasn't necessarily a lot of big surprises this season. Mm-hmm. So it just sort of was like, I don't know, but, I am looking forward to I get to visit my family in 2 weeks. And part of the reason I've put that off is because of the show and my commitment to you. So I'm looking forward to being able to do some other things.
Could always get a sit in a sub if you're.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I made a commitment, so I was trying my best to commit all the way through.
All right. Well, now it's over, Taylor. Now it's over. I'm going to tell you something. Someone had said in the chat, I'm going to address this right now. Someone's in the chat room. I don't want people to be sad or anything like that. They go, I look forward to Joe's parodies every year. This finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. There is no song parody this year. Okay.
I was wondering if there was going to be one.
I will tell you what the idea I had, because I will never use this idea again, I don't think. And I couldn't find a good karaoke version of this. Of Billy Joel's For the Longest Time, but about how long the season has been, right? The problem with all the karaoke versions is they sing, you know, because there's instruments, but
like an acapella or a doo-wop group.
Yeah, and so they're repeating a lot of the words in the karaoke. So it's like, and also it's fucking the it's a high-ass key too. You know? And so I was like, ugh, I want to fucking punch myself in the balls if I want to do this song. So I didn't do it. So there is no song parody this year.
Mm.
Does that make you sad?
That actually does make me a little sad. I do look forward to the parodies.
Yeah. Well, no song parody.
But that's not to say that you can't release something later.
True. True. Very good point. Anyway, Taylor, this week, RuPaul performs an extended dance number. The girls get interviewed one by one. There's a tribute to both the AIDS epidemic and former contestant Chi-Chi Devane. Later, La La Ree walks away with the title of Miss Congeniality. Finally, the girls perform in a lip-sync battle for the crown. Candy abuses Rosé and Simone Bess Gottmik to face off with each other in a final lip-sync. In the end, Candy finally loses, and Simone is crowned the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13, Taylor the Latte Boy and Dame, two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not, Taylor, for the last time.
For the last time for our Season 13 gals. Mm-hmm. I thought this finale was infinitely better than Season 12's. I thought that it felt more like the finales that we're used to, with some obvious differences that they have to take into consideration. So I enjoyed that. I kind of enjoyed the return to a semi-normal life as far as the finale goes. the looks in the beginning, the fact that they had all three come out in three different, or all four come out in three different looks, some of the strongest looks in a finale I have ever seen.
Wow.
They were awesome. And Candy was there too. And the thing that I did not like was, I think that I wish that all of the queens had been there. If they could have brought everybody in. I mean, I understand that there can't be anybody, you know, they can't have a studio audience, but there's no reason that they can't have the other queens come out to get their runway walk. Mm-hmm. And I would really hope that if season 14, God willing, we are back to a normal finale. Hopefully I'll get to be there with you to actually go and sit in the theater. And I would hope that they would allow seasons 12, 13, and 14 to all get that walk and get the standing ovation that they all deserve.
The only thing I would say that the reason that white not might not happen, I think it's a good idea and I'm sure they've thought about it, is World of Wonder is so fucking cheap.
And I know that.
And the queens that do show up have to pay their own way to get there.
Well, and I figured they probably would make them all quarantine for 2 weeks, which means that's bringing everybody in and then quarantining them for another 2 weeks in a hotel rooms.
Oh, you think it's going to happen in a year? Still people are going to be quarantining and stuff?
No, I'm talking this year. Oh. Like why they didn't bring anybody else, why they didn't bring anybody in. But just because it that ending where they showed them all with varying levels of sound quality and varying levels of video and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, it just kind of left that weird taste in your mouth from season 12 of the horrible pre-tapes where they said, okay, we need a video of you looking excited. We need a video of you cheering. We need a video of you, you know, making some sort of fierce statement. It just felt very canned mm-hmm. compared to the fact that they had all four of the finalists mm-hmm. all in the room together.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Well, I actually thought, now maybe that's because of the first year I didn't sit through the whole fucking thing live, that this one moved really well. I will say that. I was actually surprised by how well it moved. Even though they had a lot of the same old tropes and wasted a lot of time, it didn't feel like they wasted too much time on anything. Even the interviews seemed short. It felt like they used time very effectively on this episode. And so it moved really well. The other thing that I liked was the tribute to Chichi Devane. I will admit that I teared up a little bit.
Yeah, that was very, very well done.
Yeah, that was very, very well done. The thing I didn't like was we knew they weren't going to have an audience, and I don't know why they went up with this ruse of like there were people on a roof watching it live, because that was not happening. And because one thing that I'm sure that World of Wonder was very happy about was that they got to keep the results somewhat contained, because they didn't have the people like spoiling it. Now, I'm sure Nami Harder, who's listening live, has some information for us about how, no, it really was taped live, and it was on the, you know, the this and such building on these such and such streets and whatnot. Right. And then right now there's going to be a statement in the Discord from Nami Harder arguing with me for why I just said that. Even he's like, I don't know why I would have that information. I don't know why Joe's saying this about me. But still, anyway, regardless, something, something, something. Anyway, I didn't like that fake audience. They were clearly not there. It's just like, why do they have to stick with the artifice of there's people here and Jada Essence Hall is really here on this rooftop and everybody has a super nice car.
Yeah, I noticed that everybody had their cars all decked out with neon strips or LED lights and mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm like, wow,
because they hired extras or people that knew or friends of friends, you know, and stuff like that to come here and go, oh, can you go here for a few hours? And maybe they showed them, I don't know if there's even stuff really on the screen, or maybe they showed them like pre-tape portions on the screen that they just filmed at night. But like, yeah, it was so fake and so dumb and annoying. And I was just like, you're wasting everyone's time. Did anyone believe that that was real, that they were really watching? Did you believe it, Taylor?
I kind of believed it.
Yeah. No.
I wondered. I didn't think it was people's cars.
Okay.
I figured it was cars that they had brought in, and then they had people standing up next to car because they didn't want anybody's like junker cars or somebody's, you know, license plate being shown or something like that. So I thought it was actual people. Yeah. Let me put it this way. I was so glad. I was pleasantly surprised to see that because it also reminded me when I did the drive and drag a couple of months ago that I was like, oh, okay, that's awesome. I mean, I do get that there were definitely superimposed videos over the screens, you know, so that they, so, and I did have the thought of, well, there could be people in all of those windows and the buildings behind them watching this, and then they can't get any of them to sign an NDR. So what, you know, what, you know, I would, I don't know. I liked to believe the illusion of it, much like we talk about this show is an illusion of a reality competition. I allowed myself to get sucked in for this, the final night of the season.
Yeah. All right. Well, that said, let's go through it. I didn't write a script for this. I wrote a very simple script. You just heard it. Let's go beat by beat. And actually, you know what? Let's do this now. Before we go in beat by beat. All right. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's going to be a long episode. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll talk about our favorite moments from this, from the episode and whatnot. But we'll do it right after this break. Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right. Spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time, completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah! All righty. Wow, what a...
Oh, last one. Last one.
Yeah. You know what's so weird? Whenever I... okay. Peek behind the curtain... We play that song when we're recording. I wait a couple of beats, and then the song comes in, and then we do the yeah. There's no real time that passes. But have you ever listened to the show in the public feed? That's a no. Okay, and so...
Oh, I didn't realize you were talking to me. Okay.
Yeah. If you listen to the show in public feed, which I have a couple of times, just to see if the commercials play or whatnot, and it is weird to have the exit, and then it'll be like... two or three commercials, you know, and it's like, and then I'm like, oh my God, people are waiting through this. And then, And then they come back, and I go, yeah. And I go, oh, it feels like magic. Like, we've been sitting there the whole time. Waiting.
Right. We've been sitting there getting our notes ready and, yeah. you know,
no.
making small talk, like, when the local news tankers, like, when, yeah. when it goes dark, and they're both, like, you know, talking to each
yeah.
other.
Yeah, or Johnny Carson would lean in and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. All right, Taylor, let's talk about sort of the big beats of the episode. The first thing we had, now, I did, for some reason, my DVR cut in like 30 seconds into this RuPaul dance number. So I only got to see like the last 20, 30 seconds of it. I don't know how long it was.
Couple minutes.
Okay. I probably only saw about a minute of it then.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on it? What were your thoughts on this opening number?
It felt... this was the first time in a very long time that I would say Rue is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Rue, beautiful quality. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to see her actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually she stands there. And I know that you always talk about you tear up when you see her the first time and all of that kind of stuff. Rue's inability to dance or keep the rhythm just made it kind of painful to watch. It just, yeah. she just looked terrified she was going to fall over and break a hip. Like, it was where she's got all of these guys kind of like dancing around her and all of that. The fact that she was just kind of, you know, step one, two, step one. Like, you could see her kind of like, you know, she, as much as they give the queen's grief, you know, about the, I can see you choreographing the steps in your mind while you're dancing. Like, just have fun with it. She was not taking Jamal Sims' advice.
Yeah.
With something like this. It was very much of the where I'm just going to stand here and you're all going to dance around me. And I see random, because, you know, I'm old, so now I have tunnel vision, but I see random figures flying past me. So I'm trying not to flinch, but I'm also like trying to keep with the beat. And it wasn't really good. The song's okay, but yeah. I mean, it's not. You know, it's not one that I'll put on my playlist.
They should have had this horrible Todrick giving her side eye and saying horrible things to her because she didn't do the, you know, obviously you don't want to be famous, RuPaul, and horrible things that just yeah. Todrick said.
Well, clearly somebody doesn't want to win the crown.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to hear any excuses, RuPaul. What a horrible, how does he sleep with himself? How does this Todrick Hall sleep with himself?
In a house that's worth 10, what is it? Didn't he buy some ridiculous, like, house and then, like, posted about it on YouTube and said, giving a tour of my, like, $7 million house or something, like, gross like that?
I don't know. I don't pay any, I don't follow. If Todrick came up on my YouTube, I would cancel my YouTube account. I would flag it for inappropriate content.
So
I don't like the other
thing. The other thing that I noticed about the dancers, many of them very, very cute, no underarm hair.
Oh, really?
Like, all of them have shaved underarms. It was a little like, okay, mm-hmm. that's interesting, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. All right, Taylor. Okay, then after, I didn't really get to see the dance number, so I didn't really get to see it. But then now we know, this is the big moment right here, is we get to see, now let's just do it right here. I have nothing to say. I want to warn you right now. I have nothing to say. It's time for... the looks, the girls had showed off three looks, right? What were they? What were the looks? I don't even know. Oh,
the
no,
looks
I do.
Were, okay.
Black and white was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then it was red all over.
Yes.
And then grand finale, eleganza, extravaganza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Luke Stamen.
Yes. So I am going to say that... God, I already don't remember some of the looks, but I just remember thinking they were really awesome at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know that the first look was Gottmik, and let me see if I could do this from memory.
Sure.
Gottmik had on an outfit that was inspired by Hellraiser, which was awesome. I am not a horror fan, but I knew exactly who that character was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that she looked amazing, even with the little Pandora's box that apparently was inspired by her brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one to come out was Candy, who came out in a, obviously in a black and white dress. And where she had the BLM kind of, not embroidered on it, but kind of written across it.
Mm-hmm.
There was part of me that I can appreciate that, her wanting to make a statement. I guess the question that I have is the fact that she's making that statement when the statement I think was more eloquently made earlier in the season in a white dress mm-hmm. was a little odd. And the fact that the M of the BLM was kind of outlining her crotch.
Yeah.
Like her panty line was mm-hmm. just a little like, I want to like this more than I feel like I should kind yeah. of thing. So that was her look. And then Rosé came out in a latex inspired, like My Fair Lady look. Mm-hmm. That was very, very awesome. Though she looked like she was having a hard time walking in it.
Yeah.
And then Simone came out in a black and white outfit that was almost like an antebellum. Like she said, she used the phrase Queen of the South, and she mm-hmm. had a huge hair. A huge wig on that was expansive, and it was lots of textures, lots of fabrics, and that was very, very pretty. Okay, so that's the first four looks. The next four looks were red, and the first look was Gottmik again, and she came out in an outfit inspired by Keith Haring mm-hmm. And David Bowie.
Yeah.
And that look was very, very cool. However, mm-hmm. again, she looked like she was having difficulty walking in it mm-hmm. because of the wide stance of the look. But I thought it was with a red, like a red David Bowie type wig. Mm-hmm. So definitely very cool. Speaks to her gender bending.
Yeah.
Next.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just got, I'm talking too much. Shut up. Next came, Candy came out next. And she came out in an outfit that kind of looked like a purse. It had lots of grommet rings in it. It was sort of a mini skirt. And that look was okay. That was an okay look. And definitely red met mm-hmm. the criteria for the category. Rosé came out in, I guess, like a tree-inspired outfit or something that had like the weird veins or the roots all around it. And she kind of dragged one foot. And I think she was trying to be a tree. And I yeah. didn't really understand that. But mm-hmm. okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Simone came out in an outfit that was covered in red fingernails, red fake nails, acrylic nails, and had her hair where it was ponytail, where there were hands that were kind of holding the ponytails mm-hmm. to make it look where it was like somebody working on her hair. And okay. I thought this was an amazing look. It was very cool. It spoke to what drag is. Drag is supposed to be, you know, at times there's supposed to be a sense of humor to it. And I mm-hmm. thought that it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So the last look was drag, you know, finale drag excellence sort of yeah. thing. So then we have Gottmik in a leather, I don't know what you call it, like Elizabethan type outfit or whatever that mm-hmm. had like, you know, just absolutely amazing with an exoskeleton, a gold exoskeleton over it and like crazy hair that had horns in it. And she had the white makeup and everything. Just it was a moment. It was very much a moment. Mm-hmm. Then Candy came out in her peacock outfit, which I think had more attention been paid to details, I think it could have been a beautiful look, but I did not like her makeup, and I thought that the outfit looked cheap compared to the other girls' looks. Mm-hmm. Next you have Rosé in an outfit that, kind of speaking to her Mary Queen of Scots outfit, but it was all like a light green and creams, and it looked like there was a little bit of yellows in there and everything, and she looked beautiful. She looked absolutely stunning. Silver, mm-hmm. there was silver in that as well. Mm-hmm. And then there was Simone, mm-hmm. and Simone's last look. Oh my God, why can I not remember Simone's last look?
Don't look at me.
No, I am looking at you because I don't know. Okay. God. Yeah. The gold arm. Okay. So it was like half angel and half warrior. Thank you, Pinball Wizard. And it was where it was looked like it was like gold leather or gold lame, not gold lame. It was definitely like a gold leather that kind of looked like an arm, like a gladiator armband with the glove. Love. Mm-hmm. And then the other side was this very ethereal, like white, very, very beautiful. I can't believe I couldn't remember that because it was mm-hmm. very, very cool to me. Just amazing, amazing looks. All the girls, I would say Rosé and Candy both had at least one miss, mm-hmm. but Gottmik and Simone's looks were incredible.
All right.
And those are the looks.
And those are, for the last time, well, I guess you'll mention them when they do their lipstick battles, but formally the looks.
The formally, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, next, I'm skipping like little things like talking to Jada. We're not going to talk about that. But then they did the interviews, right? They interviewed each girl. And they had like little video packages and stuff like that that highlighted their run on the season. The first one they had up was Gottmik. Taylor, any thoughts on Gottmik's interview?
I think it's clear Rue really seems to like Gottmik. I mean, she said that where she just, I think Rue let it slip a little bit that she figured, okay, it felt like, and this isn't speaking, you know, ill of Gottmik's talent, but it seemed like, okay, fine. People are giving me grief about having a trans person. We'll have a trans person on to like shut everybody up kind of thing. And then she ended up really kind of liking Gottmik. Mm-hmm. And she sort of it feels like she sort of let that slip. But Gottmik's got infectious energy and she's great. And I was glad for the interview. I didn't realize that she had worked with Paris Hilton before. That's how she...
Oh, yeah. Didn't she mention that on the show?
I don't remember that. That was 83 episodes ago. How would I remember that?
I just like the part where RuPaul says to Gottmik, so I hear, that roasting runs in your family. And then Gottmik's at least published response is, yeah, my mom calls me. And then that her dad's listening to her roast or her comedy routine in the other room?
Yeah.
How is that?
Yeah, roasting? That didn't make any sense to
it
me.
It didn't
either.
Make any sense. I feel like there was something they cut out and we missed. Because that answer made no sense. Apart from that, I had nothing to say about this interview. Also, like, because look, what you said right now, I'll be honest with you, was true across the board. RuPaul was just fucking yucking it up and laughing at anything anyone ever said anywhere. Like... I will say, look, with the exception of Candy Muse, all of these, the remaining three girls are all very likable people, but they're fine. You know, they're fine. They're none of them is super funny. None of them is horrible. They're just safe. And that's actually, you see it in the lip syncs and whatnot. And I have a comment about that, but it was just, they're just safe. And that makes for a boring finale, a boring season. Even though it was paced well, it just, there's no risk, there's no danger in this season or in this finale. All right, the next one was Candy Muse. Your big thoughts on Candy Muse, the video package to interview Taylor?
I can't think of anything.
The only thing I would say is they were just kissing this Candy's ass like nobody's business. RuPaul laughing at every bitch that she said. Like, she's super funny, playing that hacky, corny cruise ship roast joke she made about RuPaul died. Like, it was... They were... I don't know why they want us to like Candy Muse, All-Stars 8 contestant Candy Muse so badly.
That's why. You just answered the question because that they realize that they have a big. Okay, so think about this. Who other than Candy, I mean, taking Candy off the table, who would be.
You would never do that, but okay, go ahead.
Who would be another big personality of this season?
Tamisha, but. I would say, even though it was a very different kind, Utica was an interesting personality, I'll say.
Okay, not interesting.
Okay, big personality, Tamisha.
Tamisha, okay. Does Tamisha strike you as the type of person that would play well with World of Wonder?
No.
No. So they need somebody because at some point, you know, they have all of these little shows on WoW Presents, you know, is still the most popular one, but they need somebody to do these things. So they figure we have to kind of kiss her ass a little bit. And if we can, they couldn't convince people to like Silky, but maybe there are people that think we can convince people to like Candy so that if she does come for an All-Star 7 or an All-Stars 8, it's not immediately like, what the fuck is she doing here? Because I guarantee Candy is already signed up.
Yeah. All right. Next, Rosé. Any big thoughts on her video package and interview?
Rosé's seemed, that was the one that I think Rue was the most low key on. She didn't seem like, she almost seemed like, you know, when are we going to stop and have a break kind of thing? Like, she just seemed very uninterested to me.
Well, I don't think, again, very safe, very pleasant person. This Rue was laughing at this family like they were the fucking the aristocrats coming in and auditioning for her. She was so laughing so hard at that. Like they were saying the funniest things she ever heard in her life. They were a very lovable, charming, dorky family, right? There's nothing wrong with them at all. But she was guffawing as if it was, you know, Carl Reiner and his and family were there, you know.
But Carl Reiner. But do you think that part of that is normally you have the audience around, like the only sound that you could hear was her laughing. Normally that laughing, that like she felt like she had to kind of go bigger because there wasn't the audience to sort of drown out if she was at a seven.
You're right. You're right. That's exactly probably.
Plus, I mean, I will say this, for as much as you talk about, like, you know, the way she is when they all are taping the show and we're taping the finale and stuff like that, she always seems to be very, no matter who the family member is of the, she always seems very kind. At least that's the way it's presented on TV, where she seems to at least pretend really well that she's interested in what they have to say, even though she won't remember the name of their child a week from now.
No, she's nice to them. Look, I have to say, too, since season seven, I have not seen RuPaul misbehave on stage. And in fact, the last time I saw her live in the finale, what was that, season 11? Yeah.
Was that 11?
Yeah, that was 11. She was perfectly lovely, very in a very good mood. I don't know why she was just in a very, very good mood that day. But yeah, she's nice to them. Okay, Simone, I have no notes. I literally just put a line. I had no notes on that one.
She talked about the fact that she hadn't gone home again. I know that. That was where she hadn't gone back to Arkansas and that she misses her mom. That was really, those are the two things that I remember from that particular interview.
Yeah. And then we have the AIDS segment. The 40th anniversary of the first case of AIDS, I guess, is this year. And I thought, I wrote here because, so when RuPaul came on stage and was first saying things, I'm like, oh, this might be a nice time for a clip package, you know. And I was trying to think off the top of my head of famous people that we lost to AIDS. And maybe you'll remember people that I don't remember. But then what did you think of this Bette Midler Friends number?
It was weird. It was something where, okay, it was odd just because, one, they felt the need to write recorded earlier. Like, they thought that they were actually, like, they were, like, flipping them back and forth really fast, you know. They've cloned Rosé, apparently, and there's two of them. So I thought that was odd. I agree with you. I think that in the past, when they've talked about things like civil rights, when they've talked about voting, when they've talked about, you know, gay rights, that sort of thing, that they've done a great clip package at reunions. So the fact that rather than produce something where you can talk about all of the incredible celebrities over the course of the last 40 years, particularly, you know, gay men of color, that were instrumental to RuPaul having a platform to where she could perform the show, and they chose to have the final four, you know, lip sync to a Bette Midler song, and it was also a weird version of that song. Like, I've never heard that song of where it's multiple people, multiple versions of Bette Midler all talking over one another.
Yeah.
And like, we're supposed to be friends, but then we're all annoyed with one another that we're all taking turns and like standing in the spotlight. It was an odd. It was an odd selection. Also, it made me worry for Gottmik as a lip syncer, because when she was Cade out of the audience of lip syncing, I'm like, ooh, she doesn't give good face as far as lip syncing goes.
It was odd in that, like, I'll be honest with you, when it was starting with Rosé in the theater and then it went to Candy and with the four of them only, I was like, oh, this could be very pretty and cute. And then when it turned into all of them doing different Bette Midlers.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? What is this?
Well, and the clip that they showed of Bette Midler, it's like one line from the song that doesn't really, unless you know the song, you don't really have a point of reference. And then it's just her like breaking down on like this video. It was just, it was an odd choice. I feel like they could have done so much more, especially, you know, I work in that field. I work in HIV and AIDS. And, it is definitely one of those things that I think the younger generation doesn't mm-hmm. recognize. When you and I were in that younger generation, how terrifying the idea of HIV and AIDS was to gay men of our age.
And that's what I wanted to transition to is let's do not a real AIDS tribute, but because we could never, we're not prepared for that. But just at least off the top of our head, do something that was a little bit more meaningful than what they did. But yeah, you speak to, I think I've spoken on this in shows before, but you know, when Rock Hudson died, and I was actually explaining to Aiden who Rock Hudson was. I had explained to Aiden, my scandalously young boyfriend, who Rock Hudson was, and say, like, you know, he was a big movie star that was seen as very handsome and a ladies' man. And it was an open secret in Hollywood that he was gay, but the general public didn't know. So when he died of AIDS, it was a disease up to that point that the media had really downplayed. No one really, they just knew it was like, maybe if they knew that it was something that gay people got and it was sort of ignored. And so when Rock Hudson died,
gay men, lesbians never got it. Yeah, it was just something the gay men.
Yeah, that, and so that there's a whole book about that, you know, with Larry Kramer and then that Randy Schiltz and the band played on. You can read that. But when Rock Hudson died, it blew open the doors on this sort of like, in other words, AIDS came out of the closet. You know, it was a gigantic thing that happened. And I remember I was a kid. I didn't understand. I just knew it was a disease that people who were attracted to men got. And I remember, I specifically remember not sleeping the entire night, maybe the night he died, and weeping, you know, crying, because I thought it was like a disease that God gave you because he punished you, you know?
Yeah.
And that crying that my parents didn't know that I would be dying of AIDS because I was one of those people, you know? Yeah. And because I didn't understand what it was. I don't even think I knew what sex was, you know? So I just knew that I liked boys. And
well, because at that point the level of acceptance of LGBT people that there was, we were the only time that you saw people who were gay where it was either on a very special episode
mm-hmm.
or they were the victim of a crime or they were on a talk show on Donahue or Sally Jesse Raphael mm-hmm. or one of those type of shows, and they were usually, you know, messy drag queens, or they were portrayed as some sort of like sexual deviant.
Yeah.
You know, and even when you had somebody like Phil Donahue who was trying to promote LGBT, right, then it was where they were kind of in the center of the lion's pit and people would ask horrible questions of them and just really just say gross things to them. And it was, you know, that we grew up watching that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you definitely had you and I were talking about, you know, some of like Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly and Rip Taylor and all those, that they were kind of the funny guys, but it was never talked about, that it was, while it was clear they were gay, it wasn't seen as, you know, they weren't allowed to really kind of be who they were.
Strangely, none of those men died of AIDS. Charles Nelson Reilly just died of being old. Same thing with Rip Taylor. And then people think Paul Lynde died of AIDS, but he died of a heart attack.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, people think he died, but he didn't. But we did lose some iconic people. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, if for people who, you know, younger people, there's a movie that came out, I want to say in the early 90s, called Longtime Companion,
mm-hmm.
that is really kind of speaks to what it was like, you know, what it was like for the generation before us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were little when this all happened. You and I mean, you were like 6 or 7 and I was 8 or 9. And the way I describe it to people when I talk about this movie is it's basically a gay horror movie, because it's a movie about a group of friends that are all spending time and having time and having fun together. And mm-hmm. one by one, they're disappearing and they're dying this horrible, horrible death at the time. And it's a very sad movie, but the end is very uplifting. And, but it explains a little bit more what it was like, particularly in the early 80s. In the 90s, when I was a case manager in the mid 90s, people only lived a couple of years. Mm-hmm. If you were lucky, if you got on the right medication, and it's, you know, I think nowadays, now that it's seen as a much more manageable disease, on the one hand, thank God, but it's also a disease that can be avoided through safer sex practices. And, yeah. And if you are positive, you know, making sure that your viral load is undetectable so that you're not transmitting it to other people. I mean, this is what I do all day, yeah. is talk about this.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember it off the top of my head. I remember we lost Waylon Flowers. Of Waylon Flowers and Madam. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rock Hudson. We lost Liberace. We lost... who else did we lose? I feel like one of the C's...
We lost Sylvester, who was talked about...
Oh, Sylvester, you're
during
right.
During the disco chat. They talked about Sylvester. Sylvester died of AIDS.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury.
Oh, Freddie Mercury. That's right. I feel like...
I'm also seeing in the chat room... Keith Haring, who Gottmik did a tribute to tonight in her outfit. I mean, Larry Kramer is mm-hmm. another one who is a playwright who we just lost him recently.
Yeah,
but
we lost the guy who wrote the book exposing it. Randy Schiltz died of AIDS. You know, there's a whole generation of just a lost generation. And what's funny, and we've talked about this before, is RuPaul comes from that lost generation. And that's uh-huh. what's interesting about this conflict, without taking sides, about RuPaul and, you know, whether she's sensitive to trans people or whether she's sensitive to women being drag queens or whatnot. I feel there is a sense from that generation of, fuck you, don't tell me what to do. I fucking saw my friends die, and I fought in the street so that you could get these medications and whatnot, and you could live this life that you're living. Don't tell me don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me not to live and sit and putter, you know? The sky's candy and the sun is all butter.
Sun's a ball of butter.
Yeah. Anyway, and so I think RuPaul comes from that generation. RuPaul was one of those people who probably was... she wasn't marching. She saw them marching and she thought positive thoughts. But then...
Right.
Yeah. So there's our AIDS tribute. Next, we have the Chichi Devane tribute, which was very touching and very lovely. It was very weird because they were obviously told to do this at the end, but that Kim Chi never stopped speaking in the second person, which is that was
I noticed that too.
Chilling, kind of, actually.
Yeah.
Really hit home that she was gone.
And was clearly crying through it.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, she definitely was where her eyes were very wet through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Chi-Chi was a... Chi-Chi, you... One, I didn't realize that was this year. That just kind of speaks to the year that we've had mm-hmm. where... I mean, and not even the full year. I mean, this has been since season 12 ended, which is less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. It feels like it was forever ago that we lost her. Mm-hmm. And seeing some of those performances that she did on the main stage and just what a powerhouse she was. And she was always somebody that, while I didn't necessarily always like her fashion choices, she always struck me as someone who seemed very kind mm-hmm. and just seemed like a positive force of energy. So it was sad.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, Taylor, then it was time for the lip sync battle for the live. Now, the first thing they do, this was a very strange moment. RuPaul said to read the rules is Senator Cory Booker, who's also, as we learned in an episode of that, we already done had your tree or whatever that show is, that that family tree show.
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Who the fuck do you be thinking you are, right? RuPaul found out that Cory Booker is her cousin.
Right.
Did you see the one where Larry David found out that he's cousins with Bernie Sanders?
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
they look alike.
They're related too. But. Anyway. But then he goes, I'm not going to do the rules. I'm just and say this thing, which is fine. I guess they had to say it because then he says he didn't do the rules. And you're like, what a waste of everybody's time. But it was fine. Cory Booker, yay, he did that, blah, blah, blah. Did you have any big thoughts on Cory Booker saying that stuff?
My husband said he could get it.
Could get what?
Which I kind of turned around and was like, oh, well, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I see where he's talking. I feel like he looks good from certain angles and in certain ones you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And then we had the lip sync for the crown. The first one up was Candy versus Rosé. Now, the theme was all Britney Spears songs. Mm-hmm. All Britney Spears songs. The first one was Candy versus Rosé to the song Work Bitch. Did you have any big thoughts on this lip sync?
As soon as I saw the song, I said, Candy's got it. Without the music even starting, I said, Candy's got it. Well, first of all, the fact that they brought up that Rosé had a hurt ankle during her interview was worrisome. And then because that song Work Bitch, I like that song. That's a fun song. It's also a very chaotic song. Yeah. It's also just it's a messy song. And I mean that in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. And Candy, as we have talked about, is a messy lip syncer.
Yeah.
So it made sense that she was going to be able to get more in sync with the song than Rosé was. Mm-hmm. So when you also consider that she had that injury on her ankle and really couldn't do a lot of the stuff that she would normally probably do.
Yeah.
It was clear almost from the beginning that Candy was going to win.
But let me ask you this question. Did Candy, in your mind, win the lip sync?
Yes.
If you were you did. I kind of thought.
No, he wasn't rooting for her. No.
We all know you're the biggest Candy Muse fan. Okay. Yep.
I'm creating my own Patreon to just where we talk about Candy Muse.
Yeah.
All the time.
I know.
And just praise her.
I know. You're the head of the Fandies. And
you're so stupid.
I actually thought, now I was looking at it, I was like, I forgot that Rosé had hurt her ankle, and I thought that she just did a better job just lip syncing.
Rosé did a better job with, and this is where this hurt her in the back. Candy is where she like knows like 85% of the words.
Yeah.
Okay. And we know that she does the thing of where she turns her back when she's walking to the back of the stage, that she, you know, the parts that she doesn't know the words and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Rosé couldn't necessarily move as much, but was giving good face and was definitely, she knew the words and was working in that regard. And that is, but she couldn't move. So it became where you have this chaotic song. You're focusing your attention on the chaos. Mm-hmm. So you're focusing on Hurricane Candy over there versus Rosé just kind of standing pretty and just kind of walking around.
Yeah. Okay. Then next, did you have any thoughts on the outfits or anything?
I was underwhelmed by both of them. I thought Candy's, the multicolored bikini thing she had on when she ripped it off was actually, she looked good in it. I wasn't a fan of the wig, and I did not like Rosé's outfit at all.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of when they do the weird ponytails. It kind of the ponytails and the wig, so they kind of stick out and then to the side. It reminds me of Detox and the Read You Wrote You. And the fact that in that video, they're off kilter. So then that becomes where that's what I focus on when she's rapping versus listening to Detox rap. So it kind of took me there, and that might have been.
So let me
get
this straight, because 5 years ago, Detox had her ponytails off kilter. You couldn't pay attention to Rosé.
No, that's not. Well, that is kind of what I said, but that's not what I meant. I watch that Read You Wrote You video all the time.
Oh, you do?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's one of those that anytime you watch any sort of like lip sync or something on YouTube, it almost immediately, if you just let it go to automatically go to the next video, it's almost automatically the next video that plays. So I just kind of have it on because I love that song.
All right. Next we have Gottmik versus Simone. They lip sync to Gimme More. Now it was so funny. I don't think this is a revolutionary thing that I'm going to say here. I'm just pointing out the obvious. But I was like, oh, this is really the lip sync for the crown. Like,
yeah.
Whoever wins this is the winner of the whole season.
Right.
And, right.
And
yeah. Go ahead.
I said, I wasn't sure who was going to win. I thought it could have gone either way. And I even said at one point, I said, they're going to do another season 10 where it's going to be three of them lip syncing for the crown. It's going to be Candy versus, because I think everybody knew at this point, whoever won this one is the one who wins the crown. So to keep the suspense, and I think even the producers knew that. So if it's something where they said, well, if we have the three of them lip sync, then at least you don't know if it's Gottmik or Simone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I wrote on here, because I thought Gottmik was going to win. Let me tell you this. There was a piece of rumor going around, but since it never appeared in the spoiler thread, I was always very dubious of it. What's funny is this rumor got the pairing ups correctly, I believe, but it got some things wrong. It said that it was Candy versus Rosé and then Simone versus Gottmik. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But it said that on this rumor, I never talked about it in the rumor mail because it wasn't on the spoiled drag race. I'm like, this, I don't know, this doesn't seem true. That Rosé beat it. Rosé beat Candy and she went forward. And then with Simone and Gottmik, that Simone had a Asia butterfly moment. And that Gottmik went forward and then Gottmik won the whole crown.
Okay.
So I was still thinking, well, maybe that's true. And so I was, in my notes, I wrote, Simone won that lip sync question mark. So I was like, to me, Simone, Gottmik did a great job. But in my head, at least the way it was edited, it looked a lot like they were saying Simone won this, you know?
And it was, yeah. I mean, I think that they telegraphed Candy just because they focused more energy on her. You only really saw Rosé a lot of the times in like the wide shots.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I felt like they did a good job of giving even camera time to both Gottmik and Simone.
I was suspicious at first when Simone and Gottmik come out. I'm like, I wrote, okay, here come the stunt shows, and was pleasantly surprised that the stunt shows weren't as stunty as I thought they were going to be. But I'm going to circle back to this thought. And then we have the finale of Simone v. Candy for the finale. And that song was Work Bitch, right? No.
It was Till the World Ends. Thought Rue said Tell the World Is. When she said it, I was like, I've never heard that song before.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, till the, because I don't know if she was talking with marbles in her mouth or what, but it was, she sort of like kind of slurred her word a little bit when she said it. It wasn't,
Good. Before we stop there, Bo, before we get to the actual finale, that we had a moment where they awarded the Miss Congeniality. We got to see all the looks of the eliminated queens. Did you have any thoughts on those eliminated queen looks? I only have one thought on one person.
I remember thinking that a couple of them looked awesome and a couple of them looked horrible. A couple of them were not good looks. I thought that I liked Lala Ri's look. I liked Olivia's look. I liked Utica's look.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Joey J's was questionable.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a good look. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who else's look I didn't necessarily really like. Tina Burner can't catch a break, where they even show like where they make the noise where the bird goes flying past her on the roof.
And then RuPaul straight up says to Rosé, oh my God, he was horrible. How did you not tell Tina?
I mean, there's a couple of them that were just not great. Mm-hmm. Not great looks.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say is Elliot with two T's. I was like, come on, Cindy McCain. That's all I thought.
Yes. Yes. Very Cindy McCain. But I also thought that that's another example of you've got somebody where clearly we have like a cinematographer or we know somebody else knows how to edit video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing that one compared to poor Lala Ri, where it's from like the waist up where she's just got like a white poster board behind her and she's like standing there.
It's
like
so
the fact that they couldn't do something for all the, it, 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 it bothers me. It does bother me for these girls. These girls donated, you know, these girls, you know, gave up 4 months of their life over the course of this show, or, you know, however long it took to tape the show. I know that they're not actually gone 4 months. And the fact that it was just sort of this, okay, well, get yourself, you know, send us videos from your iPhone and we'll get them on the show for you. Just, it didn't feel right to me.
All right. So let's now, and then you were you happy with Lala? I was actually surprised it wasn't Olivia Lux.
I was too. We both kind of went, what? And then like, okay, but you know what? There were consistent discussions. They seem to kind of drip in every once in a while. The fact that Olivia, according to my husband, the way my husband said it, Olivia has a dark side to her. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Lala was just seemed very just happy to be there and, you know, seemed very gracious, especially when they all made fun of her, you know, paper bag dress. And
well, also, kind of I think there's an element too where people go like, Olivia Lux was gunning for Miss Congeniality.
No, that's true too.
Yeah.
That is true too.
We're not going to give it to her. We're going to give it to Lala.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the big moment. It was, like you said, the Till the World Ends. It was Candy Muse versus Simone. I see this and I go, oh, stunt shows. Again, some stunts, but nothing out of the crazy, out of this world, you know?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this lip sync?
Well, and I guess this is another thing that goes to my thoughts about Candy. The song Candy did Work Bitch and Candy did Till the World Ends. And while I do not in any way, shape or form consider myself to be an expert on Britney Spears, I do know enough about those videos to know that she was pulling choreography directly from those videos.
Who was?
Candy.
Oh, okay.
The part in Work Bitch, we're doing the work it out. And they do this, where she kind of does this arm, where she did the arm sign of slowly like that. That's from that video. Mm-hmm. And the Till the World Ends, where she kind of is jumping up and down and throwing her hands like this.
Yeah.
That's from that video too. And I feel like that is that's a cheat. Mm-hmm. That's a shortcut to do that. I had a problem when Aquaria did that to If in her finale, where she pulled choreography from that. I think that if you're going to do something, you should do it on your own. And as far as a reveal, so she pulled the Dominican Republic flag out. I don't know where exactly she pulled it out from, but that didn't seem very much like a reveal to me. I don't know. I guess with Simone, the thing where the things popped out of her head was cool, but do you think those were supposed to twirl and they just didn't?
No, I think they probably did what they exactly did. But I'm saying that though, I could be tainted, so to speak, because I have a thing to talk about with that. But okay, go ahead.
Okay. I mean, you knew from the jacket that there was going to be a reveal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no way she was going to do that entire song dressed like somebody from The Matrix. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that she did a better job of the lip sync. You know, I was thinking at one point, I'm like, what if Candy actually blows this lip sync out of the water? Mm-hmm. Like, what if this is one of these situations where Simone shits the bed and then Candy Muse is the winner of season 13? Mm-hmm. What would that do to the fan base?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would have done. I mean, this is what I have to do for a living. So like,
I wouldn't
have stopped covering the show, but I would have been like,
well, horrifying. Guys, afterthoughts done.
Yeah. Bye everyone. See you later. I quit. I'm gonna go work at Starbucks, but you know, then we go to it and then RuPaul crowns the winner. What did you think of Jada Essence Hall's finale look, by the way?
It was okay. I've had seen other ones that I like more. I like Jada. There's part of me that feels like Jada got the short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't get a full year for one thing.
Yeah.
And then they have her where they have her kind of doing the Maria Menounos type thing out in the parking lot where she's pretending to interview people and talk to people and stuff. Like, they made her do that sort of stuff. Like, there's part of it that I feel like for somebody who seems universally loved, you never hear anybody say something bad about Jada. Mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of feel bad for her. But that being said, the look, there was parts of the, I liked parts of the look, very structured, very elegant gown, but it seemed like heavy to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily as flattering as I would like it to be.
All right, so then we see they come out. You know, they have a tense moment, and then RuPaul crowns Simone as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13. Taylor the Latte Boy, any final thoughts on this episode?
Like I said, I enjoyed this one more than last year's.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was extenuating circumstances because of the fact that they couldn't do they couldn't all perform together, and there was the whole Sherry Pie thing, which is why there was only three instead of four, and all of that sort of stuff. But I'm glad. I feel like the right winner won, sort mm-hmm. of thing. One other thing that I noticed this week and last week that is a small thing that only people of my generation would probably know. When they would do the title, the artist and the title for the videos, it was the old font that used to be on MTV back in the 80s.
Fucking nerd alert.
I'm a font nerd. I love fonts. So that was definitely something that I definitely noticed.
Oh, okay, I know. Do titles like Little Lord Fauntleroy here. I didn't pay attention to that. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about for this season with you, Taylor, was, you know, I kept going, where are the stunts? Where are the stunts? Where are the stunts? Oh, there weren't any stunts. Oh, good, there weren't any stunts. And I was thinking about that. And as much as it was nice to see that there weren't really any big stunts this year, I think it speaks to the big problem that we see in Drag Race is that, like, the slow death of this I don't think that the show is dying, but it's funny that in the very first rendition of the lip sync battle for the crown, Sasha Velour managed to kill the lip sync battle for the crown, literally. Yeah. And destroyed it in such a way that it could never be topped. And Asia O'Hara put the final nail in the coffin when the failed butterfly thing happened. And I think what that led to was ultimately a huge fear of stunts, which is probably ultimately, in terms of the competition, a good thing. But the problem is now these girls, now what we saw on season 13 in this finale, is they don't stick with the idea of Sasha Velour with the rose petals. Instead, they remember Asia O'Hara and the butterflies, and they don't want to repeat that. And so, to me, the lip syncs on this finale were representative of the entire season, in that it was stilted by safety. Everything was safe. Everything was overthought. Everything was overwrought. Make sure not one thing goes wrong. Everything has to be in place. And that's pretty to look at, and it works perfectly, but it's boring television, unfortunately. And so what I think Drag Race needs is something to share. And I don't think Drag Race is dead. I don't think anything like that. But there has to be that element where there are risk takers again on the show. We're not seeing the risk takers are gone. The Laganjas, as dramatic as she was a risk taker. You know, people who took risks, they don't exist anymore. Say what you will about them, whether they failed or they succeeded, they took risks. And we're not seeing that anymore. And I think it's made for a boring show. I don't think it has to do with fighting on television. I don't think it has to do anything with that. I think it has to do with taking risks. And this was a season of people who played it entirely safe. And it made for boring television. I don't think this was a bad season. I don't think this was go ahead.
Who would you say is the last one? Because I have a thought on who I think is really the last kind of person to take chances.
Evie took risks, but she took calculated risks. Is that what you were going to say?
That's what I was going to say. Evie was very calculated, but she definitely seemed more risky.
Yeah.
She seemed more dangerous.
Yeah.
I think than other. And I'm saying that from a drag perspective, whereas a lot of the other girls were not.
It's in a weird kind of way. I almost wonder if season 12 was saved by Sherry Pie. And what I mean is, it's very easy to blame the season on Sherry Pie, but it probably would have been a very similar to the season to this. Is we don't know. We really don't know. We don't know what we lost, but it's a lost season nonetheless. Now, Taylor, this has been, hopefully next season is not nearly as long as this season, but we talked about this at the top of the show. Are you going to miss the show. I mean, we're going to lose you. Now, by the way, before you say anything, starting next week, we're continuing. I don't know if it's going to be on the public feed or not, but Drag Race Down Under with myself, Lori Roggenkamp, and Australian expert Nat. I don't know what he wants to be. I don't know how he wants to be called, actually. Right now, I just know him as Nat Pat 90, but I know he has a name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what name he wants to use. I know he wants to go by Nat on the show, right? The three of us, Nat is actually from Australia, Taylor. From an actual Australian. And he's going to be teaching me and Lori Roggenkamp the ins and outs of this season. Okay?
Okay.
That's coming up starting next week. And then we have an Australian producer. Shocking. The one who loves to correct me, Nami Harder, will be producing. I'll be pre-corrected on the...
Exactly.
The outlines already say, I know you're going to get this wrong, so here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we kind of want in the producer. But I'm going on to, I mean, it doesn't end for me, Taylor, but for you it does.
No.
I know you're mostly relieved. You said you're going to get your weekends back, but is there a part of you that's sad? Are we going to get to talk as much?
No.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're not. We're not.
No, we don't. We tend to talk more during the season. Absolutely. Yeah. But we talk pretty regularly. We talked all through the last year.
But that was because of the pandemic. And we used to call me on Tuesdays.
No. We talked all the time, even when there wasn't a pandemic going on.
I'll make sure and not call you. But I will tell you what, Taylor. Now, I know there's no song parody. No, like... You know, goodbye, Mr. Chips or something. No, no parody on something. You know, no. I didn't bring in Friends and sing like, oh, Taylor's my friend. Nothing like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to know that I'm going to miss you. You know, I miss doing a show with you.
I'll miss you too.
Yeah. And this looks familiar, vaguely familiar, almost unreal yet, it's too soon to feel yet, close to my soul, and yet so far away, I'm going to go back there someday. Sun rises, night falls, sometimes the sky calls. Is that a song there? And do I belong there? I've never been there, but I know the way. I'm going to go back there someday. Come and go with me, it's more fun to share. We'll both be completely at home in midair. We're flying, not walking, on featherless wings. We can hold on to love like invisible strings. There's not a word yet for old friends who've just met. Part heaven, part space, or have I found my place? You can just visit, but I plan to stay. I'm going to go back there someday. I'm going to go back there someday. Well, that's going to do it for this season of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Special thank you to Taylor the Latte Boy for sitting in the second chair this season, and Luke Stamen for his work in producing each episode. So, for the final time this season, the final time in 2021, for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself.
Sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can follow Taylor the Latte Boy on Instagram and Twitter at PIMC Taylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. That's JoeBetance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.